Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks exclusively to Greenleaf actress Deborah Joy Winans about the second season of the popular OWN series, her Stellar Award nomination, and the musical Born for This, the B.B. Winans story. Comedic actor and CAU alumni Justin Hires is in the studio to chat about his new series, MacGyver. And Upfront celebrates the 20th anniversary of Love Jones. We'll be playing some of our favorite tunes from the film's soundtrack throughout the show. We'll also re-air our interview with singer-songwriter Dion Ferris as she talks about her iconic song, Hopeless. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for boys and girls for a new UMC pilot. The boys must be between the ages of 10 to 13 and appear to be African American or Caucasian. The girls must be 7 years old and appear to be African American. Filming will take place Tuesday, March 21st, Sunday, March 26th, and Monday, March 27th. Please send an email to umc@centralcasting.com with name, number, and recent photo and put kids 3-day call in the subject line of the email. Central Casting is also looking for a real cheerleading group for a new TV pilot. The girls must appear to be between the ages of 15 to 18 years old. The director will be selecting a total of 8 girls. Individual submissions are fine, but group submissions are best. Also, blue and white uniforms are preferred but not required. Submit an email with your name, phone number, location, and a recent picture, preferably in cheerleader uniform, to insatiable@centralcasting.com and put cheerleaders in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, B1 will celebrate the blockbuster drama Empire with a third season marathon beginning tomorrow, March 19th at 2 p.m. The all-day viewing is a preparation for the show's highly anticipated mid-season return on Wednesday, March 22nd at 9 p.m. on Fox. Will Lucius take back the Empire? Can Cookie make it on her own? Will Andre, Jamal, and Hakeem overcome their past obstacles? We'll see this Wednesday night. In theaters this weekend is Disney's Beauty and the Beast. The live-action drama stars Emma Watson as Belle, a bright, beautiful, and independent young woman who is taken prisoner by a beast in its castle. Despite her fears, she befriends the castle's enchanted staff and learns to look beyond the beast's hideous exterior, allowing her to recognize the kind heart and soul of the true prince that hides on the inside. The film also stars Luke Evans, Kevin Klein, Josh Gad, and Stanley Gucci, Audra McDonald, and Stan Stevens as the Beast. Check out the trailer at WCLK.com. It features John Legend and Ariana Grande's remake of the film's title song. That's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue. Listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
The Master's calling. To
to your side.
You just heard the angelic voice of actress and singer Deborah Joy Winans and her hit single, The Master's Calling. The song is taken from the soundtrack of the popular mega-church drama, Greenleaf, in which Winans portrays Charity Greenleaf Satterley. The rising superstar stopped by the studios this week to chat about the show's return to OWN and much more.
Well, good morning, Deborah, and welcome to Upfront. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Good morning to you, Ray.
Yeah. You know, so I have to say, I have a little confession here.
Yes.
So I think it was like maybe a year ago, but it was 2015. I was at the BMI Awards where your aunt and uncle, Bebe and Cece, were being honored that year, and you were walking with them on the carpet. Okay, and so everybody was clamoring, trying to get their photo, and it was like, Bebe over here, Cece over here. And I was just sort of sitting back. I'm just like watching all of this happen, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get their photo, but you guys really want to get the girl that's in the middle. Because I knew what was coming down the pipe. I knew what was about to happen. And so they're clamoring, trying to get their picture. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get theirs, but I need to get her photo. And I got, I pointed to you and I was like, hey, let me get a shot. Because I knew what was about to happen. You had the musical coming out. And then you were going to be a part of this amazing show that came out. Titled Greenleaf.
Yes.
And it was just like, I was just sitting there. I was like, see, y'all were trying to get Bebe and Cece. And it was all about Deborah, but y'all didn't know that. You guys didn't know that.
So that's
did you
so funny.
Right, did you know that the show was gonna take off like this?
No. I honestly didn't. I thought that it was incredible. I thought that it was a very, very good show. And I think that anything that Miss Winfrey does, she does with excellence.
Yeah.
And so I knew it would be great, but I wasn't sure if the people would grab a hold.
Yeah.
And boy, did they grab. Oh, my goodness.
It's the number one, or it was the number one cable series for women last year. Amazing project for the Oprah Winfrey Network, which is still sort of in its infancy stages.
Absolutely.
But just really, I would say probably not really the first time, but really one of the, a series that really was able to just grab the faith-based community.
Because
I remember seeing so many tweets and messages like, oh my God, where has this show been?
Yeah.
Why is this just now coming out now? Like, where have you guys been? So has that been the response that you all have received?
Absolutely. It's been very overwhelming. It's been, you know, a lot of people saying thank you. Thank you for touching on this subject or touching on that subject or... thank you for being honest with your portrayal of Charity, or thank you for being very real in that scene where Kevin confesses to you. These were things that people were looking at saying, I can see myself, or I can see a friend in this situation, or I can see, you know, someone that I know and love in this situation. And thank you for showing that to the world.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So let me say this for those that have been living under a rock and have no idea what we're talking about. Tell our audience, the Upfront audience, a little bit about Greenleaf and your character.
Absolutely. So I get to play the role of Charity Greenleaf Satterley on Greenleaf. I am the youngest daughter of the bishop, which is Keith David. And my mother is played by the incomparable, oh my goodness, Lynn Whitfield. I mean, that woman can just breathe and it's amazing. It's star-studded. My aunt is played by Oprah Winfrey. My brother is Lamon Rucker. And we're a family where the church is the backdrop. We have a mega church, but it's really about the family. It's about how we deal with things. It's about, you know, our oldest sister, Merle Dandridge, who plays Grace, coming home after being gone for 20 years and stirring up a bunch of trouble.
Yeah.
Some things needed to be stirred up, but in the course of stirring that up, she hurt a lot of people. And so now we're dealing with the fallout of that.
Yeah.
It's a family drama. You know, the church is there. And my character is the worship leader at the church, but ultimately it's about the family.
And it's funny because I recently had a cast member from Saints and Sinners, which is another faith, mega church drama that is on Bounce.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the difference because both of the shows kind of came out around the same time last year. And I think that the difference is this show focuses on you guys, mm-hmm. the family itself. Whereas mm-hmm. in, you know, Saints and Sinners, it's so much going on with that too. But I think you guys really focus on the family and the dynamic of the family from the bishop all the way down to the maid. I mean, everyone that's associated with the family. And then you deal with the church and what's happening with the church.
So yeah, absolutely.
You guys dealt with a number, and we just recently had the season two premiere this week, which was explosive. But one of the things I wanted to say is that this drama is not afraid to tackle or deal with social issues or issues that maybe the church doesn't necessarily want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Last year it was about Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. This year we're dealing with, sexual, what can I say? I'm at a loss for words here. We're dealing with incest in a sense, with the father and those types of things. So the show isn't afraid to talk about those issues.
It's not afraid. It's not afraid to sort of tackle the issues that seem taboo. You know, Uncle Mac Grace comes home and she realizes that because of what he's done and has continued to do over the years, you know, young girls have lost their lives. They have just retreated, not been able to work or function because of the things that he's done. And so she comes to blow all that up. And then there's the issue with Kevin and Charity and their marriage. And, you know, is it going to work? What does that mean? You know, why a lot of people came to me last year and said, you told him to tell you. You told him to tell you what was going on. And you said that everything would be okay. Why would you get so mad?
And then you got mad.
I'm thinking, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, you're already probably crazy hormonal when you're pregnant. I'm pregnant with twins and I'm about to bust. And, you know, I've made up in my mind. I know something's happening. I think he's cheating on me. I just need to figure out with who and why.
Yeah.
You know, what woman is this?
And you find out that it's
and
not a woman.
And then I find out it's a man.
It's a man,
And you haven't cheated, but you're having feelings that have disrupted our life so much for men. It's, you know, what would you do in that situation?
Yeah.
You know, I felt like in Charity's mind, I can fix this, you know, whatever, whoever it is. Okay. You know, she ain't got nothing on me. I just need to figure out who she is and then I can work this thing out. But to be something that I can't compete with. And it's like, wait a minute. How long have you been feeling this? Why would we do this?
Right.
Why would you messed up my life? Like you did this not even considering how bad it would hurt me, how bad it could hurt the babies. That's you know, that's a whole other level.
So when you got the script and you guys opened it up and you saw that, like, what went through your mind? Like, oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, during the course of the season as we were shooting, I'm like, oh, man, how is this going to culminate?
Yeah.
And when we got that script, that was episode 12 and Regina King directed that episode. And I just adore her. She saw that scene. And afterwards, after we did a table read, we talked. And she said, I really want this to be as open and honest as possible. I don't want to shoot it a lot. So I want to do an improv where we take these words and we just figure out what it is you're feeling and how you would react. Because this has to be real. This has to ring true. It has to make sense. And she just made that episode. We walked away feeling like we were able to do our part and we were able to show something real and honest and allow the people to feel for both of these characters. You know, a lot of the season, people were mad at Kevin because they would see him looking at his phone and then they're like, Charity, you so stupid. Why didn't you don't see this? You can't tell.
Yeah.
But at this moment, they felt for everybody. They felt for him because he had integrity. He didn't cheat, but he's telling her in this most broken, painful way, I love you so much. And this is what I'm going through. And she's like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
I don't know how to take that. I can't handle that.
Yeah.
But it hurts because you know how much she loves him. And so the fact that people were able to kind of see the honesty in it and relate to it is what really, really, I think, made it great for us.
Now, from the watching the first episode of this new season, it looks like Charity might have a love interest.
You know,
a love interest there.
Why would you say that?
Charity
is pregnant in this first episode. She is getting ready to have a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are you talking about?
Well, you know, as my mom say, she would always say, the eyes don't lie. And trust me, when watching that, because we actually got an opportunity to see the show for my upfront audience. I got an opportunity to see the show before it aired this week.
Okay.
And while watching that particular scene, I was looking at what was going on with the eyes. And it was just like, oh, wow. Ugh. Okay. And we were all in the audience like, really, dude? She's pregnant. Are you serious? She's married. Are you, you know, it was like.
Right? All,
you know,
of these,
yeah,
things.
All this
all
stuff
of
that's
these
going,
things.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's.
Yeah.
There's,
yeah. You know, he's a smooth talker.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, you know, the eyes don't lie,
yeah.
I guess.
Thank you, Deborah, for that exclusive interview. And we'll be hearing more from you. But first, this past Tuesday, March 14th, marked the 20th anniversary of the film Love Jones. The romantic drama, which starred Lorenz Tate and Nia Long, has become somewhat of a cult classic over the years and was most recently recognized last month during BET's ABFF Honors. We reached back into the upfront vault and pulled out our interview with Dion Ferris in November. The Grammy-nominated singer talked about her song Hopeless appearing on the film's soundtrack and its enduring legacy.
You know, we sat down. I remember when they said they wanted me to do a song for the soundtrack, and Van and I sat down and we talked about a lot of stuff that was going on. We also looked at the movie, and I think he was able to incorporate some of my story into fusion with the storyline of the movie as well. Yesterday. I've gone all over the world, and a lot of people tell me that they still listen to that song, and when they hear the song, they want to watch the movie, and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, a cousin of mine, I went to her house, and she had the DVD. And I said, oh, you got Love Jones. She was like, first of all, let me just say something. She was like, I watch that at least once a week. I was like, are you serious? She was like, no, I'm not joking. I was like, really? She was like, well, first of all, I love the movie. And then second of all, my cousin is, you know, in the movie.
Yeah.
She was like, yes. I said, really? But I found that so many people have the same sentiment about Love Jones and Hopeless.
Yeah.
And they're synonymous with one another. You can't have one without the other. You know what I mean? So it's a blessing, really. You know what I mean? Because people, you know, when I do shows, I can't leave the building without doing it.
Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
Our next guest appears on CBS's reboot of the popular 80s action drama, MacGyver. I'm talking about none other than comedian and actor Justin Hyers. The CAU alumni just wrapped filming of the series here in Atlanta and stopped by his alma mater to talk about the show and much more.
Well, it's always great to come back to Clark Atlanta.
You know,
proud alumni, graduated in the year 2001. And it doesn't matter. And yes, I'm always glad to come back to WCLK and be able to, you know, talk about some of the things I have going on.
Yeah.
MacGyver, my comedy show.
I was
going
to say, you got a lot going on. Let's start with MacGyver. You're starring in this reboot. This MacGyver came out, what, in the 80s?
Yeah, like
I think
mid-80s.
It was like, yeah, I had to be. I think I was still a teenager at that time.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet. No, I just wanted to make you feel old.
But no, so it's a reboot of the 80s series. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about this reboot and your character.
Yeah, so I play Bowser on the show. I play MacGyver's best friend. And basically what the show is if anyone remember the old series, MacGyver is like an agent who's able to build certain things to help get him out of tight situations. So, you know, he'll use like rubber bands and paper clips and bubble gum to build a bomb to get him out of a mine shaft or something like that. And so what this is, it rebooted it. It's a younger version. So MacGyver's younger in this one. He's in his, you know, in his 20s. And yeah, I play his best friend. And when the series first starts off, I don't know that MacGyver's a secret agent and he works at this Phoenix Foundation. And then eventually throughout the series, I uncover what he does. I get held at gunpoint by Murdoch, who's a villain on the show. And then eventually I join the Phoenix Foundation with MacGyver and I start helping him out to solve these crimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So how did you hear about this show?
Interesting story. So my last show I did was Rush Hour, right, on CBS. I played the lead. If anyone saw that, four people saw it.
You were Chris Tucker's character.
I was the Chris Tucker's character. Right. It got canceled during the commercial break. So I did 13 episodes of Rush Hour.
Okay.
When CBS decided not to renew that, they knew they had MacGyver. So the heads of CBS contacted the showrunner for MacGyver and said, "Yo, we really like Justin. He just starred on Rush Hour. Would you be willing to meet with him about this particular role?" So I met with the showrunner of MacGyver, had a great meeting, and they offered me the part.
Wow.
So I didn't have to audition anything, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I auditioned, I guess, 13 episodes of Rush Hour.
I was gonna say.
but yes, I didn't have to go through the traditional audition process. They offered me the role, and, you know, I flew down to Atlanta and started filming the series.
Now, did you know about the original show when you heard about this reboot?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. You seen the original
show?
Yeah,
I did. Okay. I mean, I think I was born around when it first came out, but I definitely remember catching the later episodes of it, watching it with my father. So, yeah, I knew all about MacGyver, and that's why I was so excited to take on this role and be a part of this show, because I knew how huge of a property it was, and I knew how big it could be, not only domestically, but internationally.
Yeah. And then it brought you back to Atlanta, which is just crazy because, like you said at the top of the segment, you're a former CAU student. You spent a lot of time here. You kind of helped grow your career here before you went out to Los Angeles, and now you're back here. So how has that been filming the show here?
It's been great, man. It's almost been like a mini homecoming, coming back to Atlanta. You know, I always consider Atlanta my second home. I've been in L.A. 9 years, almost 10 years, and I still consider Atlanta my second home. I'm originally from St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay.
So I love being here. I love being, you know, it's like the city in the wilderness. What do they say? The city in the woods or something? It's true. But I love it here.
Hires began his career doing stand-up comedy and will appear at Atlanta's Relapse Theater tonight beginning at 8 p.m. The versatile actor will also be hitting the road this summer with his one-man show and shared with us why performing in front of a live audience still makes him nervous.
Stand-up is a huge key to what I do, actually. So I'm going on tour this summer. I know I already have dates set up in Chicago, Seattle, D.C. area, L.A., and then I'm writing. I'm trying to get some shows off the ground as a producer, and I'm trying to get some films off the ground also that I wrote.
Okay.
So a goal of mine is to kind of be, you know, like Judd Apatow. I would love to be like a, you know, Kevin Hart mixed with a black urban Judd Apatow, you know, someone that could write and direct some of these films that I'm also starring in.
Now, are you most comfortable in front of the camera or on stage in front of a live audience?
You know, it's weird. Stand-up is more nerve-wracking because you're there by yourself. You have to make these people laugh, especially when they pay to see you. you know, it's a whole nother thing. You're like, these people paid money. You know, these people got a babysitter. These people drove. They got dressed up. Yo, do your job, because you don't want them to feel like they invested all that money believing in you and you let them down. You know, so I try to not think about all that stuff when I'm headlining a show. But in the back of my head, I'm like, yo, man, like, let's give these people a great show. And then acting, I don't know. So I guess I feel comfortable doing both of them, but I would say stand-up is by far more nerve-wracking. Yeah.
Remember moments so precious and rare. The thought of you kissing me there.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
In addition to chatting with us about the new season of Greenleaf, Deborah Joy Winans also talked about her Stellar Award nomination for New Artist of the Year, as well as performing in the smash hit musical Born for This, the B.B. Winans story. Check out the rest of our interview with her.
So Deborah, let's talk about, let's transition to the music piece. You were actually included on last year's, or well, really I would just say the series soundtrack.
Yes.
You performed seven of the songs on the soundtrack, and we actually opened your segment with The Master is Calling. So what was it like working on that project?
It was really interesting. It was very challenging. I didn't sing before this, and so it's a muscle that I'm really learning how to stretch. Acting has always been my thing, and I said I was never singing. It doesn't matter what family I come from, that right. I don't want to sing. And it's like, okay, but you're going to do what I need you to do.
Yeah.
So it's been very interesting. We did songs based on episodes, and so I never knew what would actually be picked for the soundtrack. But that was the first time I had ever recorded a song in a studio.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a big learning time for me, learning how to sing in a studio, because that's different from singing live.
Right.
I didn't know. I was like, really? How far do I need to stay from the mic? You know, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
So there was a lot to learn. And but it was amazing. I loved the music that we got to sing. I loved finding Charity's voice in all of it. I thought that was really, really exciting, because that was the way I looked at it. This was something that was coming from Charity. This was from her heart, you know, when it was time to worship. So that's how I looked at it, and that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, speaking of music, you have been nominated for New Artist of the Year at
yes.
this year's Stellar Awards. So now what's interesting is that for music not to be your first love, you've got this nomination. So how does that feel?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because that's kind of unexpected, right?
Absolutely, completely unexpected, and such an honor. And I kind of just sit back and laugh. I feel like the Lord is laughing at me. I feel like he said, oh, you thought you were never going to sing, huh? Because this is really completely unexpected and so honoring, and so just I really am without words, because it means so much to me to do something that is within the legacy that my family has created. You know, I know I am who I am. My blood ain't gonna change. I'm a Winans from the D. But to be able to do something that is within the legacy that they have formed has been really, really just amazing to just be considered in that. And, you know, people say, oh, we played Cece's new record. Oh, and then we played your record. And I'm thinking, what? You play my record after my aunt's? Are you kidding? That's crazy. It's all an honor. It's all kind of tripping me out, but I'm like, okay, Lord, if this is the door you're opening, I'll walk through.
Yeah. Wow. Now, when we opened the show, we were talking about the fact that you performed in Born for This, which is the B.B. Winans story. And that actually premiered last year at the wonderful Alliance Theater, which
yes.
that was such a great partnership.
Yes.
And just want to kind of get an update. Like, so where are we with the show? Are we going to Broadway? What's going on?
I hope so. I know that that's eventually what they would like to do. We did that at the Alliance, and then we took it to Arena Stage in D.C. And now I believe this summer it'll be in Santa Monica, California.
Wow.
So it's working its way. It's moving around, but all things that I've heard from it are, it's going very well.
Yeah. Now, last question. What advice, you know, coming from such a megastar family, I mean, just when you mention the name Winans, everyone automatically knows who we're talking about. We know the music. We can name the songs.
Yeah.
We have a story or an experience attached to a song. Mm-hmm. What advice have they given you just in terms of your career, either BB or CeCe? What were some words of wisdom that they gave you?
Keeping God first.
Yeah.
That is literally the only recipe you need. When you keep a God perspective and you keep Him first in everything that you're doing daily, you will stay on the right path that He wants you to be on. You may not always understand things, but that's why you just keep His perspective. Stay in His word, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're going. Make sure you're reading the word so you're feeding your spirit the right thing. And, you know, outside of them, my husband has been my source of encouragement for a long time, because I have felt in numerous times, maybe I'm not going down the right road because I've gotten so many no's. Maybe this isn't for me. You know what, God, if you have something else for me, then just show me. I don't have to do this. I mean, I have this passion that I feel like you gave me, but if this isn't it, just show me what you want me to do. Because at the end of the day, I just want to be in your will. That's all I want. And that's all we've ever been taught. And, when I wanted to give up, my husband was like, no, you're doing what you're called to do. I see it. So you just have to be patient. And to have somebody who believes in you and can see your future even when you can't, and can pray for you even when you're just not sure where you want to be or what you want to do, has been the biggest thing outside of my family's encouragement and mentorship and keeping me focused on the word. That's what you need.
Yeah,
you got to take it everywhere with you. Doesn't matter what you're doing. For interviews, you wake up and you have to go do interviews. Make sure you pray. Lord, what is it you want me to share today? You know, make sure you put it in my mind, put it in my heart. I want to make sure I am sharing you every step of the way with whatever I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by up front. This is so exciting.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm so happy about the series. We're excited around here.
Thank you.
That was Deborah Joy Winans, who is a cast member of OWN's hit series, Greenleaf, and it's airing every Wednesday night at 10 p.m.
On OWN.
And definitely check that out. How can our audience keep up with you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Deborah Joy Winans, and that's D-E-B-O-R-A-H. It's the long Deborah. I'm sorry, y'all. You can find me on Twitter at Deborah J. Winans, and Facebook, Deborah Joy Winans. So hit me up. Tell me what you're thinking, what you're liking. And, you know, if you have ideas, let us know.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank my guests, Deborah Joy Winans, Justin Hyers, and Dion Ferris. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, March 25th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront. You can also keep up with me during the week at raycornelius.com and on Facebook and Instagram under Ray Cornelius. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at wclk.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's jazz station, 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.